Hey, this is Pearls and Swine. I'm Levi. Across from me is Travis, and to my right is the millennial, John. And today we're going to be talking about heaven. Not our experience with heaven, but maybe our first understanding of heaven. I remember as a kid, the idea of heaven scared me, but the alternative scared me more. I remember watching videos and things of that nature. It was a Sunday evening service, and they showed us this movie about the rapture, which is the calling up of Christians. The rapture happened, and there was this little kid that was left behind. Ooh. It freaked me out. And the other part of it, though, the flip side of it, I thought, well, what if heaven's boring? Like, I don't want to sit around and sing hymns the whole time.
Shine, Jesus, shine.
That's not a hymn, but
that's what I picture. So you know.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Yeah, so I kind of thought, like, we're going to be sitting there. I got in trouble in church. This is going to be bad. Can you get in trouble in heaven? Because I get the giggles sometimes. That's why they made me a pastor, I think. Just get them up front so we can calm them down. So, but what were your guys' first experience and first thoughts on heaven?
I think as I was a kid, I always pictured it as, you know, sitting on the cloud, strumming your harp, and just floating around, like, forever. And so I'm with you, man. Like, it didn't sound super appealing as a kid. We had, you know, the typical Sunday school stuff of, like, you know, heaven is going to be awesome. And as a kid, you always pictured it like you're going up in the clouds out past outer space and there's heaven.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember having a super, like, negative thoughts about heaven in terms of, like, the boring thing. But I get what you're saying. I will say, though, when I was a grade schooler, we had a group come to our church called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. Have you guys heard of that before?
No.
Oh, man. This group would come in, great intentions. They would come in, and it was a whole production company that would come, and they would use people from your church, you know, congregants, to be the actors, and they would put on a play. But they brought all the staging, the costumes, lights, everything. The play was basically just scenes of people dying, and then you get to see what happens when they go to the gates of heaven.
I have heard of this now. Yeah. They do the coffin thing, and
Yeah, the whole deal. Yeah. So I played a kid whose dad...
There's no way you made it.
No. My dad in the play convinced me that there was better things to do on Sunday than go to church with mom. And so the beginning of the scene that I was in, we're driving to a football game or something, and we get in a car accident right after my dad talks to me in the car about how all that stuff's not real and it's a waste of time. And wouldn't you rather be doing fun stuff with me on Sundays? And I'm like, yeah, Dad. And we get in a car accident and we both die and we go to the gates of heaven and the angel says, your name is not in the book. And I remember they would all turn their face away in shame. All the angels would look away from you. And then a trap door would open and Satan and his demons come and take you away.
Wow.
It was dark.
How old were you, man?
I was 11.
Okay.
And I've been in counseling for a few years now. We're just starting to work through it.
Well, there's a lot of stuff out there on what heaven is like, and the scriptures actually do describe it at some level. It describes it in a way that we can understand, and yet I believe it's probably above and beyond our total understanding.
Mm-hmm.
There are glimpses of it within the scripture for us to understand and to it being revealed to us. The word heaven is revealed to us, or is in the Bible, like 200 and something times, 276 or something like that.
Surprisingly, a lot.
It's in there a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see it all through the scripture. And one of the prominent places that it talks about it is in Revelation. And that's the Apostle John was privileged to see and report on the heavenly city. The city is actually a physical city. It's not this cloud type of an idea that we often get. And there is a New Jerusalem, and God is there with the people. And Jesus is the light of Jesus, lights the whole city up. And there's like these precious stones. The roads are made of gold. Do you know why the roads are made of gold?
Why are the roads made of gold?
Because I don't think gold has any value. Otherwise, okay. Otherwise, I'd be out there chiseling those things off.
Man, I was ready for a joke. I was ready for a joke.
There'd be potholes all over the place.
So it would
wherever
be,
my house was.
You wouldn't find the guys chiseling the copper out of the asphalt like we do around here.
Yeah, no.
So, because I'd be with you, man. Yeah. I'd join in you. Yeah.
But what's interesting is that we're not angels.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And we were never meant to be angels. We were actually meant to be physical. And there's a restoration project that God calls us into when we say yes to Jesus. And that part of that restoration project is that we will have a physical body. That is how he created us. We were not meant to be celestial beings.
You go right to where I would go when talking about heaven too, is what we see in Revelation. Because an interesting thing that we don't talk that much about in the church or outside of the church in like popular culture views of heaven is that heaven, as we think of it right now, is kind of a temporary state or a temporary place, because what it's leading up to is the new heavens and the new earth that you were just talking about from the book of Revelation. So yeah, that's just kind of an interesting thing to think about, that, you know, when we say grandma's looking down at us from heaven, we're talking about a temporary place where, you know, there's another reality that's the ultimate reality that's coming. This idea of being in heaven, the way we think of it right now, for eternity, really what we mean is spending eternity with God in the new earth, in the city, like you talked about from the book of Revelation. So just kind of an interesting shift in the way we tend to think about it.
And I like the idea that when Jesus came back, he had a real physical body, you know, his resurrected body. He's meeting with his disciples and they're like, holy cow, it's Jesus. And he had a real body and they could touch him and they could physically see him. So I think that changes, you know, the perspective that I had as a kid, that we're going to be the little chubby angel kids floating on the clouds. And I think that having some of those tangible assets that we have in this world to be able to comprehend kind of what heaven might be a little bit like. And I know we've talked about this before, that there's stuff to do in heaven too. It's not just sit around for eternity on the cloud strumming your harp. Like, we've got stuff to do.
I think that part of it is that one of the things that I think my biggest fear of when I was a kid was that heaven was going to be boring. But how can heaven be boring if God's there? Like, that doesn't even really make sense. If God is there, then it's probably pretty doggone interesting. And there is some things there that we can know and we can understand and we can learn. I think there's some other misconceptions that are out there that people believe and hold to, that we will be like God in the sense that we'll have all knowledge. And I think we'll have superior knowledge to what we have now.
Mm-hmm.
But in the scriptures, it talks about us kind of growing in knowledge, us understanding more as we go. And it also kind of communicates this idea that we'll understand God's grace mm-hmm. in a different way. We'll understand it more fully. In one place, I think it's in Corinthians, where it talks about this idea that even the angels want to look into this. Like, they look at God's grace for us, that Jesus died on the cross for us. We got a second chance. The angels mm-hmm. never got a second chance. And it says they're like curious about this, yeah. Like, what is this thing? Mm-hmm. And they don't fully understand it. And I think we will appreciate it, number one, more, but we'll understand it at a higher and different level.
Well, we get to come before Jesus face to face. And you talked about how there's no more sun. There's no more sun, and God is the light source of wherever we're at, whatever that heaven place is at. Like, that's got to be super cool, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I like to look at the sun, or I'd like to look at the sun. My mom told me not to do that anymore because I stopped seeing. But, you know, to be able to just start to wrap your head around mm-hmm. how awesome that is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you look at the sun, we feel the sun, it's heat. Sun can burn your skin, like it can scorch the ground. But now we get to stand in the presence of God Almighty and we don't need the sun anymore. It just kind of boggles my mind.
Well, I've heard, I mean, to back up a little bit to the whole, like, what are we going to be doing in heaven? Is it going to be boring? You know, I've heard some suggestion, and there's an argument to be made from scripture that we'll probably be doing a lot of the things that we do now just without sin, you know, and things will be perfect. So I think there's an argument to be made even that we may be working. We may have jobs, but they will be the perfect job for us, that is, you know, the work that's completely fulfilling, and, you know.
Yeah, without the sweat, without
right,
the struggle. without exactly. any of that yeah. stuff, without the yeah. annoying people. Oh, wait, I'm allowed to say that. Yeah, I think you're right in yeah. that. I think that was actually part of the garden experience. And I don't think that God is trying to create the garden experience.
Right.
He's the word or the theological term is the consummation, and which means a higher level. And I think it's actually a movement away from just where he created to a greater level
yeah.
as it is, for lack of a better term, evolving, and it's actually being played out. Right. I think the world was going to get better and better. It was very good, and it was going to get better and better.
Gooder.
Gooder and gooder and gooder. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where he's bringing all the lost time, all the lost possibility, all the loss, all the sorrow, all the pain, all the mm-hmm. junk that we went through. I think he's going to bring it back in the restoration. I think the scriptures are somewhat clear in that mm-hmm. it's not the same as the garden. It's really a higher level than that in the consummation.
We're talking about the God who created color, the God who created food to taste good. I mean, these are things that should tell us something about God and what eternity with him will be like. So, you know, when you think about that, to me, the idea that it's going to be boring or somehow bland is crazy. You know, the things that are good now will be so much better. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a shift in the way mm-hmm. we think about it.
Well, even the things that aren't good now are gone. They're eradicated. There's no more pain, yeah, no more right. sickness, no more death, no right. more sadness, no more sorrow. And so I think you can anticipate perfect health. Mm-hmm. You can anticipate perfect joy.
Yeah.
We can anticipate just this perfect life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think we don't totally understand it. And I think in God's wisdom and in his understanding of what we could handle, I think he has not told us everything about it, but he's told us enough for what he wanted us to mm-hmm. know and to understand. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the hearts of man imagine what God has prepared for those who love him." And it's going to be greater than we can even imagine. And so the greatest thing that you can imagine is less than what we are going to get is really what that passage yeah. is kind of communicating to us. It's incredible, the possibility of that. One of the other things that I think struggled with was the idea of eternity. Mm-hmm. How long is that? I don't know. What does that mean? Is there not going to be change? Are we going to be bored? What is that going to look like? All of those things. But the idea or the concept in scripture is really this age upon age. And, or you could translate it a different way and maybe a little bit of a Levi translation here, but adventure after adventure. You're going to have meaningful things to do that are adventures for you. I think they're going to be exciting to accomplish. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be like the Simpson episode that I once watched where Homer was up in the front of the church and the pastor began to read. And he dozed off and he dreamt about heaven. In the episode, he jumps off of this cliff, bounces off on his head. Nothing happens to him. A pig walks by and he goes, "Ooh, bacon." And the pig rolls over and he takes a few strips off and the pig keeps on walking. I don't think it's going to be like that, yeah. but it was actually a pretty humorous yeah. idea in that.
Well, we were talking about this one night at bedtime, and one of my boys was like, "So does that mean, you know, we were talking about no sickness, no pain. Does that mean that you don't get hurt?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that means that you don't get hurt." Mm-hmm. He's like, "So I could go up on top of the roof and like jump off and then I'd be fine." And I'm like, "If that's really the adventure that you want to do it in heaven that God has called you to give him honor and glory, yeah, dude, go for it."
Love talking with kids about ideas like this. I've done it many times teaching kids, and one of the things I like to do is ask them, you know, what do you think would be the best thing possible? You know, like for your son, it's jumping off the yeah. roof without getting hurt. I would say, yeah, but better. Okay, next. You know, you go around the room like that with a group of kids. It's a great exercise of how beyond our comprehension this experience is going to be. In scripture, we see passages where we're clearly being told that we should be looking forward to heaven and excited that we're going to be there. 2 Peter 3:13 says, "According to this promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." So clearly there's a description there of waiting and anticipation. And so I'm all about, let's build up the desire to be there but also realizing that we have work to do now, and there's good in this life as well.
What do you think about people who have gone to heaven, near-death experiences, those type of things? Maybe they just visited.
Yeah, that book with the little boy, Heaven is for Real. Yeah, they made a movie out of it.
In the scripture, there are four people that had visions of heaven. Three of them wrote about it and one didn't write about it. Just mentioned it and talked about the glimpses. There's a couple of other prophets, I think, too, that had it. But other than that, there's not a whole lot of visions or this happening. And it is enclosed in the holy, inspired word of God that God wanted that much to be revealed to us. So what do you think about those things?
Well, I'll just say, you know, and I will say this and leave room that I could be wrong, obviously, but I'm skeptical typically when I hear those stories. There's passages like in Hebrews where it says, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, you know, there's kind of an order to things. And so obviously that kind of experience falls outside of the norm. So I'm a little bit skeptical. I would question, did they really die or was it some other kind of experience? It just doesn't seem all that reliable to me. But, you know, I'm open to the possibility of that. It just feels like a hard one for me to wrap my mind around.
It seems like when there's visions in that type, it always seems like it's connected to the gospel. Mm-hmm. It's connected to the person's need for Christ in those vision type things. And there's not scripture around, usually.
Yeah.
That's kind of the norm. And that's normative in the scripture. That's normative, I think, even in the world that we live in now, mm-hmm. That has the scripture. You'll have stories of people going, you know, I was praying if there's a God, you know, da 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 da, whatever that may be. I had this vision of a cross and a Savior dying on it. And you're like, oh, I don't know how you would know that without the scripture. Yeah. I think God does reveal himself still at mm-hmm. times through visions, but it seems extra biblical and it seems self-serving. And if you look at the people who actually are a part of the biblical narrative that had these visions, it's always about the glory of God.
Yeah.
Always about the glory of God. Always about mm-hmm. what he's doing. It's not like they're up there and they're like, oh, I had this weird feeling and it was so pleasant and it was so wonderful. And it's never that way. Yeah. It's actually the opposite of that. And it's like there's usually some amount of fear mm-hmm. and some amount of recognition of how sinful that they actually are. And then it's about the glory of God. Like, I saw this and his robe filled the whole throne room. That's Isaiah. Mm-hmm. It talks about Isaiah 6 if you want to read that on your own.
Or Moses, when Moses sees God, like he has to hide from him because his face is going to melt off.
Right. He's going to die. Right. And then in that Isaiah passage, it goes on and it talks about that there's these seraphim, which are just angels, fire angels, I think is the literal fire messengers. And what they're doing is so fascinating. They have three sets of wings in the passage. And I find this fascinating. One is covering their face. One is covering their feet. And the others are ready to go. And it's all about humility. Mm-hmm. It's all about like, man, this is the presence of the Lord Almighty. Yeah. This is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. This is the real deal. And then they're just yelling at each other. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. Maybe with a Southern accent. I don't know. Maybe with a hick accent. I don't know how it sounded exactly. But it is always about that. And so I'm a little skeptical, too, when people say that. And to what purpose is that?
Yeah. What you said there, I would clarify my skepticism with, I do believe that people can have visions, that God can give people visions to see things that he wants to show them. So even in some of these instances, I might be okay to say, okay, God showed you something, but I don't think you were in heaven. But like I said, we're doing our best here to try to understand some pretty lofty things.
And I would agree. I have some skeptical thoughts on that, but I leave room for God to do what God can do, mm-hmm. and God can do whatever he wants.
Yep, there you
and
go.
So
yeah,
that's
and
I'm
a little bit, I guess I would be a little bit more firm on that, that I don't think that there's no reason for us to believe their testimony at this point, because it's not normative in the scripture. It's not normative in the world in which we live. And otherwise the scriptures aren't sufficient. And I think the scriptures are sufficient. And so mm-hmm. that's what I would say in that case, is that the scriptures are sufficient. And there's no place where we have to have a bigger understanding of heaven than what's found in the scriptures.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm a little bit more hard-nosed on that one than you guys maybe are.
Would you say it another way? Like, God's word is enough for what we need to know about
it. It's sufficient. Yeah. And I'm always skeptical, again, when people start to go, hey, like, this is my experience there, and it was all these things that does not include the glory of God.
Yeah.
Because it's going to include the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Even when we get there, what are we going to do? Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord, and we're going to be excited about it, and we're going to be there with all our brothers and sisters in Christ, and all the saints and all the people are going to be there, and we're going to be shouting, holy, holy, holy is he.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm real skeptical when it's not that. And I think it's actually dangerous because there's superstitions and the occult, and it's part of Gnosticism, extra-biblical teachings, and New Age philosophy. And so that's my skepticism, just to define that. But back to heaven. Heaven's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to get to heaven, there's only one way, and Jesus tells us that, and it's through him. Through him, and that's it. There's only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus. And so if you do not know Jesus, I want to just invite you to invite him into your life right now. The Bible says that you are a sinner and you need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. He died on the cross for you. God loved you enough to send his Son for you, and this is great news. We believe this. We hold to this, and that's why we're on here talking about it, because it's good news to us, and it's good news to you.
Mm-hmm. That's all we've got for Pearls and Swine today. If you like this episode or you want to catch up with any of the previous episodes that we've done, you can find us on your Apple device. If you just search Evangel Houghton Podcast, or on your Google Play device, search the same thing there and you'll find the latest Pearls and Swine episodes. And if you want to check out our website, evangelup.org, you can find the episodes there as well. And it's been fun hanging out with you guys, and we'll catch up with you next time.